Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We were talking about this last week, and I want to sort of just hit a few thoughts tonight before we go to the house. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let me get my glasses out. And let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll read one verse of Scripture that we alluded to last week about King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel that Samuel anointed to be the king. And he was man's choice. And God had another man in the shadows waiting. His name was David, a young man who would eventually become a man after God's own heart. Maybe before he was ever anointed, he had a heart for God. And throughout his entire life, he had a heart for God. But 1 Samuel chapter 15, the story of King Saul and the Amalekites. Let me simply read verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Say it with me, please. Behold, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king.
He hath also rejected thee from being king.
Father, bless us tonight. Help us to gain a truth or two that will be of benefit to us as we come to church tonight. Help us to obey thy will. Help us to do thy word. And Lord, may we not be guilty of witchcraft. May we not be guilty of rebellion. None of us are immune from this. Lord, our hearts can get cold and indifferent, and we can find ourselves just drifting along and just doing what we want to do and not doing the will of God. Father, may we love you a little dearer, more closely, more fervently, more reverently. Lord, may we draw nigh to you. And you said you draw nigh to us. Help us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just remain standing. Over on the right side, sing Obedience Is.
Obedience, if you don't, is.
Let's sing it.
Obedience.
Amen.
Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
Y'all believe that?
Amen.
You may be seated. This crew right here.
Obedience.
Yes, amen.
Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
And you may be seated. You believe that? Amen. Okay.
Obedience. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
And you believe that? You may be seated. And the choir, would you ever sing it over here?
Obedience. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
Y'all believe that? Amen. Maybe seated. Thank you so much. That's a good song. Got good theology in it. It's all Bible. Obedience is the only way to please God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, that's a tremendous thought. And when you do it wrongly, or I do it wrongly, I could be guilty of witchcraft. And boy, that's getting down to serious territory, even into demonism and all the things that transpire in the unseen world. It's amazing what God may allow happen in our life. But I want to talk about obedience as better than sacrifice, sort of from last week. And I said there's several reasons why Saul was accused of that and why he was guilty of it. And it looked like a great man of God. It looked like a man that's going to be mightily used of God. He had a divine call upon his life. He had the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life. He had a wonderful praying friend we mentioned last week. His name is Samuel. us reading today and studying, when King Saul was rejected and Samuel gave the message, he never talked to him again. The last time, next time he sees him is at King Saul's death. He did grieve and was wearied in his own soul about King Saul. The Bible says he was grieved at what he did. And yet, after a while, he was just, God rejected him, and so did Samuel as far as being in his presence. He was rejected all the way to death, that terrible death at the end of his life in attempted suicide. The king of Israel, Saul, went down in history as a great failure. He could have been one of the greatest men that could ever grace the earth. The Lord had a purpose for him, and I'll leave that with God and his direction. But I give several reasons why that he was disobedient. Number one, write this down. He substituted saying for doing. I mentioned that last week. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 13. Just review. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. What was the command of the Lord? It's to go wipe out the Amalekites. I want you to kill every one of them. I want you to take nothing in spoils. I want everything to be destroyed of the Amalekites, who was the enemy of Israel way back. They had done havoc to Israel over and over again, and God was tired of it and brought judgment upon the Amalekites and told Saul to go destroy them. Everyone, not one, was to be left alive, including the king and all the other descendants that were there, and the sheep and the oxen and every other animal. Yet you find when they come home, it seemed like he's missing something. God told him what to do through Saul. You have the command, utterly destroy the Amalekite. So what was the command? Utterly destroy the Amalekites. The enemy of the Jews, what was he? Enemy of the Jews. Now what did God say? Kill them. And he said, he meant what he said and said what he meant. He wanted obedience. I want it done. When God says something, he means what he says and says what he means. And God wants us to obey him. We don't always do it, and sometimes we fall into travail, we fall into mischief in our life, and we fail to obey God. But when you obey God, there is a peace that comes into your heart that you know you please the Heavenly Father. Jesus prayed the same prayer in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. Father, not my will, but thine be done. And we're supposed to be following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Saul lied when he got back. Samuel confronted him. And Saul, already in verse 13, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Verse 14. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep, and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. But Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. King Saul thought he was going to be recognized for a great exploit and a great victory. He was waiting on the applause, perhaps, from God himself through Samuel. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own eyes, thy sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee to be the king of Israel? Was that not true? Question mark. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go out and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed or destroyed. Wherefore thou didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, what a conversation this must have been. And Saul said unto Samuel, Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, and king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the bunch of them out there, the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And again, the text, for obedience, obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Number one, he substituted saying for doing. That's hypocritical. Most of us realize that right off the bat. The command was given, the claim that he did, that he had taken care of the problem, and we'll get to it in just a minute. He blamed the Israelites for taking the sheep and the oxen and so forth. The character that Saul had in his latter days started off well, very humble, very obedient, desired to please God, I'm sure, and also Samuel. But then his character began to change. Something began to change in him over the period of time. As he got taller and mightier and greater and bigger, and king's army, he was very powerful in the organization of the armies, and could fight battle after battle after battle. They began to sing a song later on. Saul had killed his thousands, and David's killed his 10,000s. And he probably was jealous of David from day one. He even got down to the place where he wanted to kill little David. And David became a friend to Saul, and Saul didn't realize it, what a friend he was to Saul. He could have killed him on several occasions. But the fact is, Saul lied. He claimed to be obedient when he was disobedient. Lord, I have said what I've said to you. I've done what I was supposed to do. And God knew he was lying. God knows when you lie. He knows when I lie. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God any of the time. God knows exactly when you're telling the truth. And we've been talking about integrity. When I started on this little series, I gave out that little graph. It's something like this. And it was a lantern, lighting the way to the next generation. King Saul had an opportunity to affect the next generation mightily in wonderful ways if he'd obeyed God, but he didn't. And I mentioned several parts of the lantern, which is makes the whole total lamp and gives light to the next generation. And it was down to the word integrity, steadfast, moral code, doing the right thing, influencing people. Psalms 26:1, I will walk in mine integrity. My integrity, my honesty, my decency. Character is a tremendous part of our being. Reputation is what you are on the outside. Character is what you are on the inside. And God knows it, and Samuel knew he did wrong. Samuel could hear it. Be sure your sins will find you out. Some big mama sheep said, "Bah!" Some cow lowered in the lower, got down to bass, singing bass. And the choir picked up and the animals. And Samuel said, "What is the hearing I'm hearing? What is this noise I'm listening to? The bleating of the sheep and the howling of the cows and so forth." And Samuel was giving a rebuke to Saul. The bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen. Be sure your sins will find you out. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows the flesh, will all the flesh reap corruption. If he sows the spirit, will of the spirit reap life everlasting. And may God help us to sow the right seed. It's easy to do wrong. They used to have a little story, a little illustration about any fish can float downstream. Any dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live fish to go upstream. You always got to admire the salmon making their journey upward for spawning, how they go against the current and go against the tide. And it's amazing how the salmon, how the salmon can go upstream against the tide. It's not always easy to go against the tide, but he did. And what's the song, Obedience Is the Very Best One? What's the first verse of that? Amen. Obedience is the only way. It's not one of the ways, it's the only way. And Saul was lying, and God knew it, and Samuel knew it. God wanted integrity. Be hearers of the word, don't just be hearers only. Turn to the book of James, if you would, chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. It's in the back of the Bible. Go to Revelation and come back the other way. You'll come to it shortly. If you're there, would you say amen? Verse 22 of the book of James. James is a great book. It has a great title, great name to it. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Read that verse with me, please. Deceived. deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. There's something dirty on your face. You look in the mirror and say, oh my goodness, look, I didn't know I had it on my face. Then you walk away from the looking glass and never do anything about the smudge or the dirt that was on your face. You just walk away and forget it. He said, I want you to be not only hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Several years ago, we was somewhere on vacation. It might have been on the honeymoon I was talking about, Sunday at Gatlinburg. But it happened many years ago. Nancy and I was somewhere, someplace, and they had what they call trickery mirrors. I'm sure if that's the right word. But you can stand before it. They can make you real fat. It can make you real skinny. It can make your body look like a pretzel. Whatever glass you stood in front of, you revealed what you were. And we had a lot of fun with it, trying to decide which one we liked the best. Do I want the fat model or the skinny model? Do I want the twisted pretzel look? What do I want to look like? Looking into a glass and then leaving and beholding what manner of man I am, I'm still the same. Now, if that glass, even though it was a glass that played games with you, it was revealing you in a different character, different light. And if you had any dirt and smudges on you, if you looked through any glass, you could see that. It'd be time to get your face cleaned up and looking right. But James 1 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a looking glass. May the Lord help us tonight to be sure. Sometimes when the Lord looks at us, he sees something that's probably tragic. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 21. And when I say we, I mean all of us in this room at some time or another. Matthew chapter 21. And verse 19. Verse 19. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but what? But leaves. And he said unto it, this is the Creator talking to a creation of something that he made, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. He found nothing but leaves. So you can look good. I can look good. I can sing songs. You can sing songs. We can quote verses. We can say prayers. But our lives, sometimes nothing but words. Oh, how I love Jesus. You ever sung that? I think all of us have. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and we sing songs about love live to me and how we want to be obedient, trust, and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, and that's good, and it's good and proper. But you can sing the songs, you can talk the talk, but are we walking the walk? And I think the Lord sometimes looks at us and says, you're playing a game with me. They call it hypocrisy in the New Testament. And Jesus spoke one of the most scorching, serious, pungent, powerful chapters in the Word of God when he rebuked the Pharisees and said, woe, seven times, woe unto you. And we don't want to be a pretender. We want to be an actor. Don't want to be one that's just playing a game. We want to be genuine to the core. So he says, I want you to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only, but doers. When we don't, our character begins to deteriorate. The more you disobey God, the worse you'll get. As a Christian, after a while you'll take things for granted. After a while it won't bother you. After a while your conscience becomes more and more seared to the things of this world. You find yourself not feeling so bad about doing some things wrong. I hope God never takes away conviction. So when you do wrong, you feel bad.
Amen.
Saul, have you done what you're supposed to do? I have been obedient to the Lord. But the proof was in the pudding. The sheep and the oxen were there. The king was there. He wasn't supposed to be there. And all the things they brought back from the spoils of the judgment upon the Amalekites. So number one, he substitutes saying for doing. He said so, but didn't do. Hearers and doers of the word. Number two, a substitute excuses for confession. Go back to 1 Samuel right quickly. We saw this verse a little bit last week. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 15. And Saul said, this is a real communication book. Saul said, Samuel said, God said. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. That's partial obedience. But what Saul did, he made excuses. He blamed it on somebody else. Now, he's the king. He can give any order he wanted to give. If he saw somebody trying to take a sheep and take it back home with him, he could stop right there in the tracks and kill that sheep or had somebody kill it. So he was playing a game of falsehood. He was making an excuse for somebody else. The reality, he blamed somebody else. Verse 21. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So here you got Saul not only saying one thing and doing another. You've got a man who is the king of Israel, is excusing himself instead of making a confession. If he had made a confession right then, oh Lord, I've sinned against thee. And he did say that later, but he didn't mean it. You see that in the context. But he made a statement that he had done what God said do. And because of these sheep and oxen, it was not my fault. Somebody else did it. The people did it who was with me. How sad. The reality, he blamed somebody else. Animals were for sacrifice and people did it. So it sounded good. We're going to sacrifice these unto God. The skin of a reason, someone said, is stuffed with a lie. Remember when Naaman was down in Syria, they trying to find some cure for his leprosy. And they finally found the man of God. And the man of God told him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be whole of your leprosy. Little insert of the scripture in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. There's a mighty man, Naaman was, powerful man, military man. Somebody was concerned about him. If he's only down where the man of God was at, they find the man of God. The man of God says, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. The next phrase says this, Naaman speaking, behold, I thought. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, you know, more beautiful? Why should I have to go down to muddy Jordan and dip? And finally, his servant had to rebuke him for disobedience. If he asked you some big thing, it'd be no problem, Naaman. All he's asked you to do is go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and you'll be cured. Voice of a prophet speaking from God to Naaman. And Naaman, behold, he thought. One of the problems we have, well, preacher, the way I see it and the way I believe it, well, if it's not in the Bible, it's not backed up with the Bible, then we're speaking in things that's out of sort or out of section of our life. Whatever God says, we ought to be willing to obey it. If he says, do it. I used to carry a button somebody gave me, like it drove me crazy. It was a round wooden piece of material, and on it it says, get to it. Get to it. So every time I'd reach my pocket, and I carried it for quite a while, it says, get to it. I couldn't sit down for no reason. I'd be getting to something all the time. Get to it. Get to it. It reminded me. Now, I know God's not a terrible person who's going to try to heap lots of problems on your life. But he does want us to be obedient. If you can be obedient in the small things, it's a lot easier to be obedient in the big things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And sometimes they have a way of ruining our life and causing havoc that they should not. Watch out for people who always make an excuse for why something happened. When I was in college, we played basketball there to school, and we was playing another team. It was sort of intramural sports. And there was one man, a young man, we was all young, but one young man, every time he make a mistake, he blamed on somebody else. You ever see a guy like that? He'd look around and sort of, he did it, or his fault. What was really good, when you saw a guy with character playing basketball, and he blew it, he'd go like this, my fault, my fault. But a guy who wants to be looked at and be bragged on is always saying, well, it's his fault, his fault. Always make excuses for the way they are, and that's not good. Refusal to be honest and accept responsibility. It's sort of like the kid we've used for years about the cookie jar. when she was coming through the kitchen, and her mom says, "Have you been in the cookie jar?" And she said, "No." And cooked chocolate cookie all down her face, dropping down on her shirt. And she said, "I've not been in the cookie jar." Where in the world has she been? She's going to have to make a bigger excuse than what she offered. I was not guilty. And sometimes people thought, well, behold, I thought that they'd overlook it. Behold, I thought it'd be all right. Now, if it's a command of God, how many commandments are there? Well, we know there's 10 in the Old Testament called the Ten Commandments. But there's hundreds of commandments through the Bible as you read from Genesis to Revelation. There's a lot of commandments. They all funnel out of the Ten Commandments. But there's a lot of commandments. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. Fear God and keep his commandments. And whatever that commandment is in the Word of God. And we go down the list of all those tonight that we know that we can recall of commandments that we're supposed to. We were commanded to pray. We're commanded to be faithful to God. We're commanded to go to church. We're commanded to fellowship. We're commanded to do a lot of things. And when we're able to do it, and God has allowed us to have the resources to do it, that we ought to be willing to do it, get to it, and do it. He should have confessed his sin and been honest. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy." Proverbs 28:13. It was a sad day for Naaman when he got leprosy. It was a bad day when he was told what to do. It was a glad day when he was obedient to God, and when he dipped the seventh time and came up the seventh time, and when he came out of the water, he was completely whole. Can you imagine how Naaman, the dignified man, may have acted then? He'd have probably said, "Boy, I was a fool for playing a fool, trying to rebuke God for telling me what to do. Look what he's done for me, and thank God for being obedient." Sometimes we're not always obedient the first time around. Sometimes we have to be convicted and maybe pointed out to our needs and our situation. Saul was given an opportunity. They confronted Saul, and Saul lied about it. He spoke, but didn't mean what he said. He made excuses instead of confessing his sins before God. Review the life of Saul. Began his career as a king, as a humble, obedient, and responsible. He had respect to people and the blessings of God was upon him. That's where he started. The more he was elevated, the more he lifted up in pride, the more he thought he was somebody and began to think he was more important than anybody else, including David. He found himself getting worse and worse in moral decline. The seeds of dishonesty now bring forth fruit. I said the word is integrity. Being true to God, being true to yourself. To thine own self, be true. You got to live with yourself. You're going to have to die with yourself. How you live, when you come down to die, wouldn't it be good to come down to die and you've lived the best you know how, you've tried to please the Lord, and you was able to have the privilege of dying at your own speed. Gather the family around the bed, cross your arms, and say, "I love you. I'll see you in glory. Good night." And just die. Wouldn't it be a great privilege to die that way and feel like I've fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished the course? Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. But having that relationship with God, of having integrity, I need that. I don't want to steal. I don't want to take something that don't belong to me. Someone put a little ditty they made up, said, "A little lying here, a little lying there. A little stealing here, a little stealing there. A little lust here, a little lust there. A little drink here and there." And then they put, "Oh, if we could only have 1 John 1:9. Not get used to just sinning. I've had this said to me, and I've said it probably myself at some time. You know, we're not perfect. Let me just check, be sure I'm in the right crowd. See if I can get my eyes focused right. See if I can get my ears tuned up right now. How many of you are perfect? Would you raise your hand, please? Bob, raise your hand. All the perfect people. Bob is not raising his hand. Are you perfect? Anybody? Austin, you perfect? You've been in trouble lately? Looks like it. We're glad you were taking it with a smile. No perfect people. Well, let's try it the other way. How many of you are imperfect? Raise your hand. Now the third question is, how many of us try to justify ourselves when we do wrong? I was listening to a preacher this week. He says, you can justify any sin if you want to. You can find a way to justify it. Saul did. Well, those people that went out to fight with me, they just didn't know Father, know how to follow commands. They were disobedient soldiers, or they did this, they did that. Instead of saying, I was in charge, I failed. Please forgive me. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Just a moment and see what Saul said in reality. In verse 24, chapter 15, after he was rebuked and said, stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery, verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Well, sounding good, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice, obeying man instead of God. That's tragic. It's what man said did. It's what they said to do. So I just listened to their voice and let them do what they want to do. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. How serious it was is magnified in what Saul did. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from this day, and hath given it to his neighbor, to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength, capital S, of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Notice what he says now. I've sinned, yet honor me now. Well, do you see the confusion in Saul's life? I know I've sinned. I've said that. Would you honor me now, I pray thee? So why? Why? Look at it, verse 20, verse 30. Behold, the elders of my people, I pray thee, before the elders of my people, before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. And Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him, delicate. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of the death is past. Okay, I got by. I'm not going to die. And Samuel said a lot, didn't he? As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul. Probably the best friend he ever had was Samuel. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented or regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. He substituted saying for doing. He substituted making excuses for confession. He substituted sacrifice for obedience. It's better to sacrifice, you think, than it is to obey? That's the question we've got to answer. This is Paul here. Where's Paul? I don't see him. Oh, there, can you lead it? Can you sing it up there? Yeah, okay, I see it. He was asleep over. Don't wake him up. Obedience is the singing from up there. From that box up there, you got a trio, maybe one of you. Paul, just sing it by yourself. Caleb, do you know it? Sing it.
O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
And Danny, don't sing it. Obedience is the best way, the only way. I close tonight. He had reputation as a great man, and it was from our point of view in the eyes of people, but character was lacking. I have sinned, but seemed to be more sorry that it got caught. Ever seen a child do that? Ever seen an adult do that? It's not that you're sorry for your sin, you're sorry you got caught. Character is, someone said, is concerned about your reputation, not your character. Your character is what you really are. Character is the tree, and the reputation is the shadow that's cast from that tree. Reputation is what men think we are. Character is what God knows we are. Character is what a person is in the dark when no one else is around watching. The situation, trying to please people, you'll get in trouble. Just please God. Now, I want to please people. I want to do the best I can. I want to please people. I like doing things for other folks. I think you do too. But the ultimate goal is to please God. And we need to learn that and keep that always forefront in our life. What does God think, not what men thinks? Fear of man bringeth a snare, Proverbs 29:25. Don't worry about receiving honor and praise of men. Personal integrity will go farther than a pat on the back. I'm grateful for every compliment I ever get about a sermon or a lesson. If you sing or you teach a lesson, somebody says, that was good, that was a blessing to me. That's good. Wonderful. But I think what's really great, even though we cannot see him physically, is the smile of God's approval upon our life. Some way saying to our inner being, I'm proud of you. Thanks for being honest. Thanks for having integrity. And integrity is when you're willing to confess your sin and forsake it, Proverbs tells us. Confess and forsake, and by God's help to overcome the sins in our life. He lost his character, and he lost his crown. He lost his good friend Samuel. He lost God's blessings. The spirit departed from Saul. He lost his life. Suicide on the battlefield. I conclude. What we need to do is rub our eyes for just a moment and realize we are nothing apart from the Lord. We can't make it without him. Say with John the Baptist, he must increase and I must decrease. And we can get that prayer echoed in our soul. John was the greatest man ever born of woman outside the Lord Jesus. If I understand Scripture correctly, never was there a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. And he says, suffer little children, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He made a comparison of John the Baptist with little children. He was a humble man. Lord, I'm not worthy to touch your shoes or untie your shoes. I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not worthy. And Jesus said, so be it, John. You baptize me. And John the Baptist humbly, I think, put his hand behind the head and the neck of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And John the Baptist put his other hand here and took the Lord Jesus down into the water. Suffered to be so. And John the Baptist baptized God. What a thought. What a thought. He says, I want you to be like that in your humility. Just be humble. Whatever God wants you to do, by the grace of God, do it. If you make a mistake, confess it quickly. You don't have to try to blame anybody. You just say, well, it's my fault. My fault. If it's your fault, it's your fault. Now, if it's their fault, hopefully they'll confess their needs. I can't confess somebody else's sins. But I can confess my own. And maybe there's times in our life we just need to have a good confession time. Confess your sins one to another. Confess your faults one to another. So if we stood tonight being obedient, we go around and every one of you confess your fault. Darren, we start with you because it'd be the longest page in the book. Just confessing your faults. Wouldn't it be something? Have you ever been to service where everybody just got to confess their faults? Some of us would get up and probably say, well, I won't confess my fault. I'm not really bad. Sometimes I guess I displease the Lord. Not sometimes. I do displease the Lord pretty regularly. Pretty regularly. I wish I could say the opposite of that. Wanting to know to do good and doeth it not, to him is what? Last night, we was going to the house. I was leaving, went by the Goodwill after visitation. And looked around what they had and go back to the books and look around. But there's a man outside. He had a little sign that said, I'm homeless. And he was sitting there. I got out of the car and I said, he's going to ask me for money, sure as the world. So I went ahead and got some money out. He said, do you give to every homeless? No, but I want to be ready in case I feel like I should. Not every homeless person is there because of their own doing. Sometimes it may be an unusual circumstance. It may be a mental problem. It could be a lot of things. And I walked over and introduced myself, and he shook hands with me. And I said, "Are you homeless?" And he said, "Yes, sir." Now, he could have been lying to me. I said, "Are you a Christian?" He says, I've been there. I said, "Where are you at tonight? Are you right with the Lord?" And he sort of stuttered around. I'm not sure if he was going to agree with me or not. But I gave him a dollar or two and said, "I hope you can find something to eat. And the Lord bless you." But my flesh didn't want to talk to him. I'm not better than he is. I just see so many folks just begging to be begging. But you never know who you may help along life's journey. And I'll close with this. Dr. Wilkerson, who pastors First Baptist Church in Hammond, my brother had the opportunity, Roger, to preach for him a few weeks ago at First Baptist Church where Dr. Howes was pastor for years. And he took Roger and Marcia to his home to eat. He has 9 kids. I'm not sure how many still home, but he's got 9 kids. They got in their house in a pretty good sized living room, very big table. And he says, "I've got some friends outside," not talking about Roger and Marcia, they was already inside. He'd gone in the community and got the homeless people that he could find. All the homeless people come to eat with him that Sunday. Roger said, "You talk about being humbled." He was not being braggadocious. He just asked folks in to feed him off the street. Well, whether they would do it for the wrong reason or the right reason while they're begging, I think it can make a big impression on somebody's heart that some preacher was willing to feed somebody that was hungry. Don't rule everybody out. There may be somebody God wants you to speak to. And you can always leave a track. And you can always smile. And you can always help if God leads you to do so. But let's be obedient to the Lord's Spirit. The Spirit of God speaks to us tenderly, softly. And we do what God tells us to do. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for your kind attention.